that time.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I'd say this week, probably one of the really big events that is eminently noticeable by most folks is the aspens, I believe it's the trembling aspens, have released their cottony seeds. And it's a little hard to imagine, but almost none of those seeds will become plants. The seeds themselves are minuscule. John Zazada once told me that there were 3 million plus per pound. So it's a tiny, tiny seed and carries very little in the way of nourishment in terms of getting started. When you think of a bean, for example, there's a lot of nourishment in that seed ready to help that plant get started again. Not true for trembling aspens. But the seeds are floating around in the air. If you're driving around today, and especially if you're driving on some backwoods roads, you're probably seeing cotton in little drifts along the edges of the roads. And that is, for the most part, I believe, the trembling aspen. There was some discussion on the Season Watch page, KAXE-KBXE Season Watch page, there was some discussion yesterday about where these cottony seeds were coming from, and some thought balsam poplar and some thought cottonwood. I suggested that it was my opinion that it was probably the trembling aspens, because the trembling aspens flower before the cottonwoods and before the balsam poplars. The only other plant that flowers at about the same time and may have similar phenology would be the willows, and those would be the pussy willows and the Bebb's willows, and I think there might be one more willow that flowers really early and may possibly have produced some of the cotton that's floating around in the air right now, but It's large enough so that it's not like the pollen that's floating around in the air right now. It's not likely to give you hay fever. If a piece of that cotton went up your nose, I think it would tickle enough to find its way back out. Other things happening this week. Black ash just began to break leaf bud, and we have been, it was a long cold spring. But not a record cold, but nonetheless a long cold spring, and the black ash are 3 days early on my average, so they're pretty close. That's pretty darn close to hitting it just about the right amount of time. I made a trip up to Baudette this past week, and it's always exciting to get in a car and head either north or south because you see things change. As my wife put it, you're traveling either back in time or you're traveling ahead in time relative to where you left from. And as I left Grand Rapids and started north, it was really interesting. By the time I got north of Alvewood, I was looking at big tooth aspen just breaking leaf bud. Back here in Grand Rapids, they had already come out to the point where you could see the leaf petiole, but that was stunning. And then further north, I was able to see magpies, which are more common up that way than down here. I also saw a pair of moose, though I saw two moose. They were under power line in the area where the power line or where the power company keeps the vegetation suppressed so that it doesn't interfere with the power lines. And in that area, the moose were feeding, And they, I say a pair, they were 100, maybe 150 feet apart. And so I assume that they knew one another at least. And what else? Well, as we walked around up there, we saw lots of crawdads, lots of balsam poplar breaking bud. The dogwoods were just starting to break bud. We looked at the male and female flowers on willows and talked to the students about those. And then after class, I took a little trip with my advisor up there, a retired conservation officer named Jeff Burcham. And Jeff and I went down to the mouth of the Rapid River and we watched sturgeon spawning. And it is just astonishing to see these 4, 5, and 6 foot long fish in the rapids below the bridge on 11, and watching them thrash about in there as they lay their eggs. Jeff tells me that their eggs are very sticky, and in that rapid oxygenated water, they cling to the rocks and whatnot below the surface of the water, and with all that oxygen, because of all the tumbling of the water there, they are well supplied, and then they move on to become sturgeon, and it's a very quick process. Jeff was explaining that it doesn't take very long for those sturgeon to hatch out of those eggs and then become, you know, mini sturgeons. Now, most of these fish were in the, as I said, 4 to 6 foot range, and they probably were 50, 60, 70 years old. Some might have been even older than that. These are well-lived fish, very long-lived fish. And amongst them were pelicans. And if you were tuned in last week, you heard Jake Graham talk about pelicans. And these pelicans were busy in the same rapids, only they were feeding on suckers. What I could see of what they were eating looked like suckers. And they were just happy as could be to be right there among the sturgeons and enjoying the fish that were trying to spawn in that same area. So pretty interesting to see that many pelicans in one spot, and just fascinating to see those giant sturgeons doing their thing in the river. It was just amazing. Back home, I noticed that the little Lasius ants, the neonigers, I think they are, they're the ones in your driveways that build these little volcanic cones of grains of sand. You're familiar with them. I know you are. These are the ones that, like I say, their little anthills look like little volcanoes. And amazingly, you can scuff them or run over them with a car, and the next morning they will have worked all night to move all of that gravel back into a nice, neat column of a nice, neat cone of sand excavated from their houses. And those ants became active this past week. Paper birch probably reached their peak of catkin distension. In fact, they were probably a little bit past this past week. Last Tuesday, my class went out and we tapped some of the catkins, the male flowers, and were able to dislodge a little bit of pollen, but it was pretty much the end of the pollination period. And a close examination of the branches revealed the female flowers, so we got a chance to look at those, and they're there, and we enjoyed them. Box elder leaves are increasing in size. Aspen leaves are increasing. Everything is pretty much leafed out. The black ash, of course, I mentioned that. They're just getting started. But just about everything else is leafing out and rapidly increasing in leaf size. If you're looking at the red maples, and if you were listening earlier, the talkback segment, the kids from Duluth were talking about the progression of the red maples and how they were just, it seems like a week ago, they were in flower. And this week they're full of seeds and the leaves have emerged. And my notes on the red maples were that as of yesterday, you could start to see what was going on the trees. And that is because the leaves, which emerge red, quickly become green as they begin to photosynthesize. And so the leaves are starting to turn green this past week, and now you can see a mixture of red and green. Up till now, they've been pretty red, and that was mostly seed samaras and the early emergence of the leaves, which are red, as I mentioned. And so that overall red color on the red maples was pretty dominant, but now it's beginning to become more green as the leaves start to photosynthesize and turn green. So watch the maples. It won't be long and those seeds will be falling. Harvey Jader over in Bemidji noted that the samaras of the silver maples, the seeds of the silver maples were falling. And I had the same thing at my house, except that when I looked at the seeds that had fallen from the tree, they were incomplete. So they were not fertilized, or the seed didn't develop and the tree cast them off. It's still holding on to a lot of the seeds, which I expect will be becoming viable seeds and probably fall to the earth in a short period of time. I can't help but be a bit overwhelmed by all of the frog songs that are going on right now. The wood frogs seem to have quit singing. I haven't heard a wood frog in over a week. Boreal or western chorus frog, I hear a couple of them. I heard some last Wednesday, and I've heard one or two since, but they're kind of fading as well. The spring peepers are still carrying on very strong. Also, the American toad is singing, and the wood frog or the tree frog is singing. So there are plenty of things out there to listen for, and plenty of cacophony all night long if you want to get out and just listen to them. To talk a little bit, I've been telling you for years that the order of flowering for the shrubs, the flowering shrubs in the springtime, is Juneberry, plum, pincherry, chokecherry. And this year it got a little confused, not confused, but it just started off with the plums. Plums were the first ones, and then the Juneberries, and then the pincherries. And the next thing we'll see are the chokecherries. And the flowers are on the chokecherries. The flower buds are there, but it'll be another week or so before they probably bloom. But the pincherries are in full bloom right now. Juneberries are sort of past their peak of bloom, and the plums are also kind of past their peak of bloom. I mentioned the pelicans from up north and the sturgeons. That was amazing. This past week, I don't know if it was just, if it's something that's going on in terms of the bird life or what, but I saw this past Friday, crows and ravens, and they're not buddies, even though they're cousins. And the crows were attacking the ravens in both cases, or actually it was a single crow and a single raven. But in each case, as the crow approached and as it got close to the raven, and I mean within a foot, the raven would flip over on its back and present its feet. And that was enough to tell the crow not to mess with it. But the crow continues to kind of buzz the raven and attempt to drive it, I suppose, from its territory. I talked earlier about salt and its effect on pines, and I was driving up through the Avenue of the Pines here in last Thursday, and there were a number of trees along there that were dying, and there were a number that were dead, and it was kind of a sad situation, and that comes from the salt that we put on our roads for the most part. The other note that I have for this week that was kind of normal, I guess, in a sense, because I've seen this pattern before, but the big tooth aspens leafed out last week, Tuesday or Wednesday, and that was 12 days after, let's see, it was on the 17th, because it was 12 days after the trembling aspens leafed out. Now, I've kept track of both the trembling aspen leaf out and the big tooth aspen leaf out for 30 years or more. And there tends to be a 21-day gap. It's an average of 3 weeks between the leaf out of the trembling aspen and the leaf out of the big tooth aspen. This year it got compressed to about 12 days. It's been as short as 9 days. Every time that happens, it happens as a result of a long, protracted cold spring, and that gets compressed. That distance, that time between, gets compressed. And so you witnessed that this year, as we have in past cold springs, that this time of year, the big tooth aspen follows the trembling aspen by a shorter period than would be normal in an average year. Now, if you're not familiar with these two plants, the big tooth aspen now is white. I mean, it's sage green. It's a very, very, very pale, pale green. But when those leaves emerge, they are mostly white. And that's what you're going to see right now. If you're looking at the big tooth aspen, it's going to have these bright white leaves on it. And if you've been paying attention, you probably were wondering what was wrong with those popple trees in your yard. How come they hadn't leafed out? Well, they're probably big tooth aspens. And if you look at them now, they probably have big whitish green leaves on them and getting bigger all the time. So they were a day late for bud burst on their average, but they were only 12 days separated from the leaf out of the trembling aspen. So they've compressed that situation a little bit. Red oaks are well leafed and showing great promise, full of flowers. White oaks, same thing. Flowers are kind of at the end of their season, so that's kind of dying. Yesterday I noticed that the pink moccasin flower, the stemless lady slipper, the pink lady slipper, is up, but not blooming yet. Nodding trillium in my yard is up, but not yet blooming. The grand, the big flowered trilliums are blooming. There are a lot of plants that are just getting a start. Canada Mayflower, first wood anemone or wind flowers blooming this week. That's 12 days late. 19th was the first wood anemone I saw, and that's 12 days later than average. We had a frost on the morning of the 19th, and that's a little bit past average. The average late frost in the spring is the 16th, but we will keep an eye on that. We may have another frost. Who knows? Marsh marigolds are blooming all over the place right now, and there's very little else to say about that except that they're doing really fine. Ferns are up everywhere you look. I have a patch of ferns in my yard, lady ferns, and I got to looking at them, and here's one clump, and the stipes, the stems, are all red. And here's another clump right next to it that appears to have the same pinnules, the same leafy structure on the sides, and they're green. And so I went and consulted the book on ferns, and it said that it used to be a separate variety, or they called it a separate species, but now it's simply a red phase of the lady fern, and they're up. Ostrich ferns are up. If you're out, you can still find ostrich fern fiddleheads if you want to eat some. They're still coming up at that stage, but there are ostrich ferns that are completely unfurled. Interrupted ferns are up, though I haven't seen any of the sorry, the sexually reproductive parts of the interrupted fern, but I'm sure that there are probably some out there that are showing that off. Sensitive fern, lady fern, all the ferns that I note, the cinnamon fern, they're all up and doing pretty well. The northern holly just began to break bud this past week. And while I was out looking at the northern holly, I found over a space of about 100 feet along my trail, I found six popple trees, six trembling aspens that were about 2 inches in diameter at the base, pulled over, snapped off, and all of the leaves stripped from the branches. And right away, I knew that the black bear had been in there eating the leaves. That's something that they do early in the spring like this. They get out and they go after those leaves, and it provides them with some quick nourishment. And, you know, a 2-inch aspen is nothing to a black bear. They just rip them down. There you are. First flowers on the large-flowered bellwort for me this week, 10 days late on that one. And this morning I noticed that the common lilacs had begun to bloom. And the common lilacs have been pretty consistent over the years. The first bloom on the lilacs averages the 20th. And the last year, it was the 18th. The year before that, the 17th. The year before that, the 17th. So in 17, it was on the 18th. In 16, it was on the 17th. In 15, it was on the 17th. And the earliest ever, of course, was, you guessed it, 2012, when they bloomed on the 12th of May. And the latest, you guessed it, 2013, 31st of May. So go out and enjoy the lilacs and their wonderful smell, and we will talk to you again next week. I want to